We're here in Leaders Portfolio. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith, now in studio with the CEO of Métier, Mr. Douglas Clark. Welcome, Douglas, to Leaders Portfolio.
Well, thank you much. Glad to be here, Rebecca.
Now, Métier has received Inc. 500, Inc. 5000 awards, provides project portfolio management software and project management office services to primarily government and also private business as well, about 60-40 on that. So explain what your company provides.
Well, most Accenture did a study a few years ago that 70% of the S&P 500 is actually intangible value. And most of that value is being delivered by projects. So we help organizations build their portfolio of projects, get better at doing those, find those efficiencies in those projects. And so therefore, that's their throughput. That's their finished good is the project.
And why, and you founded this yourself, why was that an interest? Were you one of these guys growing up who you just did a million projects?
Well, what I was seeing was that we were moving into this project realm. We saw that more and more organizations needed a skill set to run projects efficiently. If you there's studies out there that the project that you start today is probably not going to be successful on multiple different avenues. Manufacturing, though, they're at Six Sigma. They are doing all these great, 99.99% success, whereas project management is all the other way. But if the S&P 500 is 70% intangible through projects, there's a lot of effect that can have on the economy. So we're really interested in helping organizations find those efficiencies because we knew that there was a lot of, there was a lot of money involved in that as well.
And did you create the software initially?
We did. We on the Census 2000 program with Lockheed Martin in the year 2000, we basically built a prototype to deploy the imaging equipment for the census form. So somewhat topical today as we're in the census again. But and we took the lessons learned to actually build the commercial product.
And prior to this, what was your career path?
I was in Intel in the military for about 10 years and kind of got me interested in conceptually looking at entities and figuring out how they worked. And that brainwashing led me into the interest in project management.
Are you surprised how often projects fail? Something goes wrong on the inside?
Well, because, look, projects are mostly communications by people. And I jokingly call people, huge bags of variables. And so the problem is figuring out and resolving all those variables as we do something together in a fixed time period. And that's what a project is all about.
And so, and this project management software that you created, is it, it's proprietary.
It is.
And is it universal application or is it designed differently for?
Well, it's certainly customizable. We do, on one end, we're helping government agencies report to the IT dashboard, which is part of President Obama's transparency initiatives. But on the other, we're helping little small companies we're outsourcing their project management office with software and virtual services, and we're actually helping them manage their projects. So it's kind of both sides, and the software is designed to be customized to each customer.
And you started this in 1998. And grew it organically.
We did.
What were the first rough few years like?
There was,
because I know I can answer. I can ask that question.
It was a focus on culture. Because the only way to do things organically is to have this sustaining culture that, as you bring new people in, I can then go and look at other things because the culture is sustaining and bringing those people along and helping us grow the business. So we spent a lot of time initially in the company really thinking about what kind of company we wanted to be, how we would behave, and things like that. So really culture kind of in some ways was what got us through, and I think that's an important aspect of organizations.
Did you have another job when you started this?
We did. Actually, we're a husband and wife team. We started it together, and my wife went out first, kind of got us organized as a corporate entity and got us rolling. I bankrolled us for a little while with some consulting jobs, and then I came out, and one of our first big projects was the year 2000 census working for Lockheed Martin.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And what has, the last 10 years been like then? How much of it could you predict and how much couldn't you?
It's funny. We have been on this really windy path, but the vision that we started with is actually, we've never let that go. And so, you know, there's been twists and turns. The dot-com bubble, you know, that stuff happened to us, and we had the anthrax thing that happened here in the United in D.C. For months, we didn't get any checks because the mail was, you know, we couldn't get any mail. So we have a stale check from BMW that was irradiated and probably got wet and all this stuff. And we have that on our wall because we didn't get that. They had to cut another check because we never got it until about 2 years later.
That's funny. And that's kind of business, right? Is how do you manage around?
Cash flow is not a theory. Right. So we had to be healthy enough to live through that period where we weren't getting cash. And we had to be smart about burning cash. But, you know, every company has to kind of anticipate those kind of things. And, you know,
the ones who do make it.
Right. Totally agree.
And we're speaking with the CEO of Métier, Mr. Douglas Clark. And Doug, you've been on, or Métier has been on the Inc. 5000 and 500 five times total.
Yep.
So that's an accomplishment.
We're proud of it. I mean, we're you know, organic. We do have a little angel investors, but I mean, we grew this. You can do my whole thing to new entrepreneurs is like VC is not the only option. It's a fantastic option. It certainly makes some things easier. It makes some things harder, but that's not the only option. And I tell everybody, you can do this business and you can grow a great business. I'm very lucky. I have a great life. I have a lot of the toys that you want, I guess, if you go into business for yourself. But I also have some of the fulfillment of working with great people. So you don't have to do that. You can go organically, and you can get the recognition that comes with, you know, that usually is associated with VCs. Fast growth, Inc. 500 is fast growth. And we've had some great HR awards that big companies usually get. We get them. So, you know, we feel good about the organic path is a very, very fine path. And that's where most business in the United States is the organic path, not the Google path.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. And you said you had angel investors.
We did. We took a little bit of angel investment, and they've been great partners with us. We are going to give them a return on their investment someday. We're committed to that. They know it. They believe in what we're doing. But, we felt that doing it, you know, mostly organic. We haven't taken money since the year 2000. So, I mean, we took a little bit of outside money to kind of get us up and running. But since then, we've done it ourselves.
Excellent. And your wife is involved.
She is. Well, more than, I mean, this is truly a partnership. She has part of the company. I have another part of the company, and we run it as professionals. It's kind of nice knowing that somebody's got your back in a different way when it's your spouse. But, you know, as professionals, we take it seriously. We take our job seriously. It's nice to be professionals together.
You just can't fire each other.
It's kind of hard to fire her. And it's also hard at the end of the day, you share the problem. So it's kind of hard to, one person has a good day and one person has a bad day. That doesn't happen to us very often. We usually both have a bad day or a good day together.
That's true. And have you had to, you know, now doing this 10 years, have you had to adjust the boundaries for husband and wife versus, you know, coworkers?
Well, I mean, we early on said, you know, when the whistle blows, we're husband and wife again, and we cherish that time of our relationship. And when we're at work, we've changed the boundaries because we've taken on different roles as the company's grown and the needs of the company. But I think that to do this successfully, you truly have to say there is professional people doing stuff, and then there's the couple time, and we have to separate those and make sure that those are adhered to.
And we're speaking with the CEO of Métier, Douglas Clark. Now, let's talk a little bit about jumping back to project management software, recognizing that we have business leaders listening. What do you think good project software includes?
Well, there's three pillars of traditional project management: cost, schedule, risk. And within those, there are the resources, the people that span those things. So certainly it has to have some kind of addressing of those specific things. We think that there's a lot of knowledge artifacts produced by project management. And so those artifacts, documents, you know, drawings, emails even, those need to, and some of it like wikis and things like that, you have to have a place to put that and associate that with projects so it becomes reusable. So we kind of think that is needs to be in there as well. We're kind of nerdy, maybe my Intel background. We think that the previous data that you've done, if you could go in and mine that out and use that to start predicting or forecasting future performance, is very important. I mean, you're producing all this information. You should be able to take advantage of it. So ours certainly does that. So we really try and help.
Is that, and that's not common.
That's not common. I mean, that is that's more of a Google kind of what did you mean kind of concept. But again, you know, every organization is somewhat constrained of the types of things they do. So you can use that constrained information to say they're going to behave somewhat like this. Let's use that to model some future performance stuff.
And what oversight do project managers usually consistently forget? Not all of them, but if you see a trend and you just want to kind of shake them and go,
yeah,
okay, you all do this.
You know, that one of the things that we see is that, you know, the project managers typically will focus on one of the areas at the expense of the others. And I think because it's very difficult, cost, schedule, and risk, each one are very different concepts. One's time, one's very fuzzy. You know, risk is a very fuzzy kind of thing. And cost is you know, not all of us enjoy going deep into the cost intricacies. But they're all complete trade-offs. There, you tweak one, now another one is affected. So it's really, you can't look at any one. You've got to look at them holistically and look at those trade-offs and what they do to you.
Yeah, it's interesting, talking about the trade-offs. And I'm wondering if you've seen, as the financial sector did not measure risk appropriately, right? And that's the fallout now. Are you seeing more interest from your clients who now want to measure that more?
Finally. I mean, okay. It's, you know, I always talk of these concentric bubbles. One is surprise. Not much you can do about that. I'm just, surprise. Inside of that one is risk. And that's those things that could surprise you that you'll take action against. But believe it or not, a schedule is inside risk because it says, within risk, I'm going to actually plan to do these things. And so there, that, again, shows you these systems of systems that you're in. And so risk, you can't do good scheduling or planning unless you look at that bigger world of risk that is around your plan. And so we're happy that people are really starting to look at risk and do risk management and look at the trade-offs of what risk will do. And some projects you may not want to do because of risk, or some projects you may want to do to mitigate risk. And we think it's important that people are intellectually starting to think of that.
How often do you not take a project because you don't think the client is assessing the cost, the scheduling, or the risk accurately? You know it's going to fail and you don't want to be... Does that ever happen?
No, you know, we're very honest with our customers. And you know, in the end, if they choose to do what they're going to do, there's not much we can do. We can certainly, what we can do, though, is set up those mitigation plans. Was then when they do drive off that cliff, we're saying, okay, now you need to begin to do these things. And I think that that's important. You know, I think most days, though, we just don't see that. There's been a shift over the time that we've been in business where leaders are much more realistic and listen to counseling, you know, the outside counsel much more readily than they used to.
Is that, that's your opinion? You've seen
truly. If you look at transparency too, when we started, it was project managers doing PowerPoints and doing a lot of arm waving, saying, I'll make it. And then 2 weeks before the project was supposed to complete, they say, oops, not going to make it. Now, with a lot of the transparency stuff that's happening, we're seeing that we're looking at projects much more detailed and much more empirically all the way through collectively. And so we just don't see the same kind of hiding that we used to. It's still out there. It's still somewhat, you know, is it the majority? I don't think so, but it's still somewhat prevalent.
Yeah, you probably have good insight into, it's almost like your own data collection on what percent of projects are completed on time.
There's a metric. The Standish Group publishes a metric that, based on cost, schedule, or the intended scope, 70% of projects fail on one of those metrics.
Interesting.
Now think about that. That's one sigma. If from the math perspective, that's one sigma. Manufacturing's at six sigma. Yet project work is 70% of our economy.
Interesting. You're a data guy.
I'm a nerd. Yes, I am a nerd.
All right. Well, we are in studio with the CEO of Métier, Douglas Clark. He's been on the Inc. 5,000 and 500 five times total, company located in Arlington, Virginia, and provides project portfolio management software, project management office services to government and private businesses. We're going to return with Douglas. We're going to continue this conversation and continue talking about leadership. Right now, I want to thank some of our sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. And if you are interested in communicating to the leadership business community, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We love bringing leader sponsors to help us put this leadership content out there so that I can learn and you can learn and everyone can grow from it as well. I want to thank our senior producer and production team for putting this all together. And we will return after this with Douglas Clark, CEO of Métier. It's all here on Leaders Portfolio, also on leadersportfolio.com. That's leaders plural portfolio.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Back in studio with the CEO of Métier, Mr. Douglas Clark. They have received five times, been on the Inc. 5000, Inc. 500. They provide project portfolio management software and project management office services to government and private businesses as well. Now, the project management office services search term, Doug, was something that you learned over time. Talk to me about this.
We did. You said earlier about the numbers and stuff. We're pretty... We are very metrics driven, and one of the things we look at is how people search on Google to get to us. And one of the major terms was project management office. And what we realized that organizations really wanted that capability, then they would bring our tool in. And so it wasn't a very far a stretch for us to say we can create this virtual service coupled with our software as a service offering virtually to either outsource for small companies their PMO and the software, or for larger organizations, we could be an adjunct and additive to their existing PMO.
And that's a lot of that's business too. Is adjusting. You know, when you see something, do you take that opportunity or not?
You bet. If at some point you get hit in the head enough times, you think, wow, we should do something about this. And we saw that and we thought, wow, this could be another pretty significant revenue stream. And at this point, most of our hosted customers are buying the virtual PMO service as well.
I'm going to ask you a question. When does it not make sense to buy your software? For example, I am noticing that Google Documents and things like that are offering more and more things free that work well. So when's that bar? At this point, it makes sense to go with the big guys.
Yeah, I think that I think once you're in that, 10 to 20 project range where the coordination is really starting to happen. I also think when you're having to start to decide those projects to do and those projects not to do, project portfolio management concepts really come to the fore. You know, most of us can manage 3 to 5 projects probably of certain sizes, but I think as it gets beyond that and you're starting to coordinate with others, you're starting to have shared resources, the risks are getting bigger, and it starts to become this, this holistic view, then I think you really need to start thinking about something greater than just, documents and spreadsheets and that kind of stuff. We see that a lot of times smaller companies cutting over from spreadsheets and documents into our tool.
Is it a certain employee size too? Do you find or not related? It's really a number of projects.
It really is project size. One of our customers, the city of Miami Beach, it's not a huge number of people, but they've got a lot of projects that's going on at any one time, and they need to really look at it from a number of different perspectives. And resources and resource constraints, certainly with city governments today, are really critical.
We're speaking with the CEO of Métier, Douglas Clark. Now, why do you say that?
Well, I mean, we see what's happening at the federal level, right? We know that the money is not endless. We've opened up an office in Santa Rosa, California. We know, we've heard what's happening in the state of California. As that trickles down, you know, the states, the cities and the counties are really taking the big, big hit on this more than anybody else.
Let's get into that, because you have 60% government clients, 40% private, of course, approximately. What are you seeing in those two sectors?
Well, we're seeing
either, in this recession,
right.
I mean, speaking to them.
First was this realization that it's happened over the course of our lifetime as a company. We've seen organizations, A, realize that they're project companies. They realize that their assembly line is called the project. Then secondly, as they start to get some experience and some knowledge, they realize they must set up this thing called a project management office. And by doing that, they probably should bring in some software to help them do that stuff. So what we're seeing then is we're seeing a lot of movement in the PMO realm, people trying to get sophisticated and experienced in project management. The second thing is certainly on the government side, but it's also they're realizing it in the commercial side that the transparency stuff is really important. And transparency is more than just showing what things cost. It's, you know, we used to do a lot of project management via PowerPoint. And what we did was we crafted a story that told what we wanted everybody to hear what the project was doing. There was a lot of truth in there, but there was also a lot of spin in there. And what we're seeing is there's a movement away from that to metric-driven, true metric-driven project management, where the bad news is out there for everybody to see, and we then collaboratively try and resolve and fix those issues. Because the PowerPoint version of project management just fails. It just consistently fails.
Interesting. All right, I want to ask you now, too, what different leadership decisions are you making in this economic climate?
Well, we've kind of been, you know, we've always said cash flow is not a theory. So, I mean, we pull our belt in a little bit. We anticipated somewhat what 2009 was. So one of the things we did, we created two budgets. You know, one if it's really bad and one if it's good. And we kind of had in our back pocket, you know, a third one, you know, that it's really, really, really bad. But I think you kind of do a lot more risk management. But then again, we sat in a fairly good position and we said, we were kind of like, you know, in the stock market, buy when everybody's selling. We said, hey, let's set ourselves up to grow. And, you know, we opened up another office last mm-hmm. year. We invested quite a bit of money in our product to position it well. We were just ranked in the leaders quadrant by Forrester Research as leaders in our software segment. So, you know, we feel that we're set up as the economy starts to pick up. We just wanted to be that kind of company. We didn't want to, you know, close the doors and hunker down. We said, yeah, there's some amount of that, but there also needs to be some amount of investing and getting ready because this too shall pass.
Do you feel like being a CEO for your government sector clients versus being a CEO for your private sector clients is like running two different companies?
A little bit. I mean, the way you talk to them is very, very different sometimes. And certainly there's revenue issues on one side and there's only, you know, cost issues on the other. But in some ways, the project management problem is a shared problem. And then in some ways, I'll say that the government is leading the pack. I mean, project portfolio management is much more evolved today in the federal space than it is over in the commercial space.
Interesting. Why?
Because they got it a lot earlier. The credit goes to the previous administrations that implemented business cases and things many years ago, which is, you know, a critical component of portfolio management. And OMB led the way to say, we're going to continue to do this. We're not going to let, you know, each administration is going to redo this. We stayed with that, and they've evolved. And for the first time today, actually, you can go to the IT dashboard, itdashboard.com, I believe, but it's where you can see all the investments up there. For the first time in the federal government, you can track those investments all the way down to the actual performance that's happening in the programs down below. So we're in a pretty enviable place as a government and as an entity, because we can actually see where the money's being spent, how well we're performing. Not all of it's good news, but at least now we can start to take actions to make it better.
So looking at the two sectors and your clients and also generally what's going on in those industries, you think the government, in your opinion, does more performance measurement or does better performance measurement?
I will say they do more of it.
Okay.
Whether they're better at it yet, I'm, you know, the school's out on that. I mean, there's a lot of, but, and we're also, you know, we're at an immature point of this, you know, professional project management really only started in the 50s with the Polaris submarine development. that kind of concept. So we're pretty early in this evolutionary path. So, you know, it's not surprising that we see a lot of different maturities out there.
All right, I got a Forbes business quote for you, Doug. This is, "The first great gift we can bestow on others is a good example." Thomas Morell. The first great gift we can bestow on others is a good example. Thomas Morell. Thoughts?
I love that. I was really lucky early in my career to be, you know, blessed with great mentors, great managers, and I learned so much from them. And I, even though I may not keep talking to them, they're such an important part of who I am. And so if I can do that for my folks, and I know what it feels like for me, it's almost this kind of, you know, you live a lot longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because if I can do great things, if I can show them how to be great professionals the way I was taught, then, you know, my legacy kind of carries on. So I certainly think that how you carry yourself and the example you set is a wonderful gift.
Do you ever struggle with that, like spending too much time kind of mentoring employees versus running the business, or no, you figured it out by now?
You know, maybe I'm strange, but the more time I spend on the culture and the employees, the better things get. Now, I have the speed of decisions. You know, I don't have a problem with the speed of the decisions, but I think that where we err sometime in spending too much time going through the decision process and not enough time saying, I'm going to build an amazing staff, because then the decisions come easy because I get completed staff work. They come to me and said, here was the problem. I looked at three different alternatives. This is the methodology I used. I recommend this. It's kind of easy to make decisions when you've mm-hmm. created people that think like that. And so we spend a lot of time on growing our folks.
How good are you? How many employees do you have?
75.
How good at you are at hiring, and I'm sure other people are doing that for you now, but because you're kind of in that phase of how involved do I get, right, in that decision? How good at you are deducing someone's going to be a good employee quickly?
Well, I think that it's a very difficult, almost anybody can keep it together for a couple interviews, right? We use a lot of different techniques. I will say that our acceptance rate is equal to most of the top tier colleges to get into the company. We reject a lot of folks. And so the only way to do that is to be, you know, we're very critical and not in a bad way.
Right.
But you've got to get over a fairly high bar to get to join us, because we're going places. Our bar is high. We're going places fast, and we want great people. So, you know, you've got to have a minimum of 3.0 to get into the door. You have to have worked during college to demonstrate that you're willing to do stuff and work hard. We even like it even more as if you did jobs that were commensurate with the degree program, because that shows us foresight, that you're in your passion, so we do a lot of things to really weed out and make sure that we get the best and brightest. Do we still make mistakes? Certainly. But I think that you know, I always say pound for pound, we're a pretty smart company.
What do you think is a good hire rate that works? How many out of 10 employees?
Out of 10 hires, if 8
work, I'm good. So you've hired them.
Well, we would certainly like to see, you know, we track attrition rate, and, you know, an industry standard attrition rate in our business is about 20 to 25% turnover. We typically like to be around 10%. All of our senior people have been promoted through the ranks. None of them hired from the outside. So homegrowing your own, I think, is you know, for us,
that's
is
your
the
method.
Right, that's our method.
Interesting. Excellent. Now, I'm going to ask you your leadership philosophy. Tell me some thoughts on, what is your approach overall?
Well, I was actually talking to somebody the other day, and they were asking me, you know, what we did with the company and setting up that culture. I keep going back to that. The leadership philosophy is, when you plant this seed of culture and it's identifiable and everybody feels it and can touch it and see it, I don't have to worry about that anymore, because everybody is husbanding the culture. So I think great leaders, you know, certainly, again, cash flow and all the ins and outs, the numbers, we have to do that. But the sustaining thing is, I worked at IBM, and back in those days, when you walked through the door, you knew what that culture was. It was white shirts, ties. Everybody got it. You went to the customer. You were bulletproof. You know, that's what you were. And everybody got that culture. I think if you look at a Google, they could take the sign off and you could walk up there and you'd know, hey, I'm in Google land. Right. So I think that culture ultimately is the leadership thing that's the most critical.
Excellent. Well, Doug, I want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio.
Rebecca, thank you very much for having me.
CEO of Métier, Doug Clark, here with us on Leaders Portfolio. And of course, Doug's bio, a link to his website, and his audiocast are all available at leadersportfolio.com. And so you can listen to his interview over and over, as well as numerous other CEO interviews, so that you can learn how to be a better leader. My goal is to learn from these leaders so that you as well can do so. I want to thank these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio. That's Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you are trying to reach the business or leadership community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We love our sponsors. We appreciate the fact that they are committed to leadership content for the community. And if you think you fit, give us a call. Of course, you can find us at leadersportfolio.com. That's leaders, plural, portfolio.com. I want to thank our senior producer, Dr. Ohlers, for doing a great job, and the production team, Miguel, Jennifer, Christine, Marwa, Allison, and Sonia. If you think it's just me here, you are wrong. There is a huge team behind this and putting this all together, including hair and makeup by Charisma White, theme by CSH Entertainment. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, talking with leaders from across the National Capital Area about leadership so that you can learn to be a better leader yourself. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been Rebecca Blacksmith asking you, what's in your portfolio?